Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good morning. It is 11:30 on the East Coast. You've got Dakota Lone Star here, and today's topic is going to be a lot of fun. Hopefully informational for those of you that are right on the cusp or the coattails of hope in terms of sage thinking where firearms are concerned. All right, you've got Dakota Lone Star here. Now, there are at least two reasons. I'm going to give you the call number in just a moment. But there are at least two reasons that I've entitled today's program, Own a Gun, Your Kid's Doctor Needs to Know. Or does she? For at the very least, two reasons. In the Sunday, April 3rd edition of the Washington Post, Angelica Zen and Alice Kuo have taken it upon themselves to boldly go where no sensible rural lady would have dare gone before the new age. Their article is entitled, Own a Gun? Your Kid's Doctor Needs to Know. Not that you as a parent, shouldn't know this sort of thing first, but it takes a village to raise an idiot today, and most likely a chai tea, and Barnes & Noble to boot. Well, just perhaps an occasional Washington Post article will do the trick, seeing that it supplants, what was the book way back in the day about raising babies? Anyway, that'll come to me in just a moment if need be. However, today's guest call-in number is the same that it's been, and in order for you to speak with moi, Dakota Lone Star, simply dial area code 929 477-4090, and I will do my Dakota best to get to your phone calls. All right, now my new online home is 40and28forever.com, and you can like me on Facebook by searching Dakota Lone Star as well. I'm also blazing a new trail on Twitter at @DOC_OTA Lone Star. That's at @DOC_OTA Lone Star. All right. So let us begin with their title, shall we? You know, before diving into their main course, a next to meatless salad, which is, I guess, to each his own, right? In terms of being a carnivorous or otherwise. All right. So the title of their article, and it's interesting too, because I was born and raised in South Dakota and Iowa primarily. I spent my formative years primarily in South Dakota, or Dakota del Sur, as Spanish people would have it. And my wife is from the Deep South, the Dominican Republic. All right, there's another clue as to who Dakota Lone Star actually is. But let's go ahead and look at the Washington Post Outlook section for Sunday, April 3rd, 2016, otherwise known as Section B to Washington Post readers. All right, so it's their Miss Angelica Zen and Alice Kuo entitled their article, Own a Gun, Your Kid's Doctor Needs to Know. All right, so let's just start with that, with just the title of the article itself, and if you want to chime in, give me a call at 929-477-4090, and let's talk about that article. Own a gun? Your kid's doctor needs to know. Now, that may be the case for 60% of America, possibly even upwards of 70% of America today in the new age. Welcome to the new age, courtesy of progressive Democrats over the course of the last 7 years. So, you look at that title alone, and that title alone is on par with an earlier Washington Post article about nuns, not sisters within Catholicism, but the nuns of today. And N-O-N-E apostrophe S, those that don't really claim either here or there sense of religion, if you will, galvanized religion. But this particular article, in my opinion, is certainly on par with the Post's article about the nuns recently, claiming that Jesus is a progressive socialist. The titles are part and parcel in terms of progressive Democrats, if you will. All right, so I'm going to jump into the and another interesting point to note is that the danger of everyone being able to weigh in minus any expertise whatsoever versus the expertise of a large percentage of gun owners, if you will, is frightening and even damning, and someone needs to extrapolate on the left, and I'll get to that in a little bit in terms of within the article itself, but I'm going to go ahead and begin reading the article. You know, when I was a kid growing up, just on a sidebar, the word nun was pretty much meant, you know, you didn't hold an opinion on a particular subject, but hey, all right, so you can go back and check out that article about the nuns in the Washington Post. I think it was about a month ago that they were, you know, it pertains to Bernie Sanders and progressive socialism. And anyway, all right, so I'm going to begin the article. Again, the call number is 929-477-4090. Here we go. Do you have guns in the home? It's a standard question pediatricians ask patients and their parents, an entry into a conversation about storage and safety. Okay, right there, I want to slightly take exception with that particular opening salvo, if you will, launched from the author's ship. Number one, you know, Obama's been on this kick for quite some time, and as have other socialists and communists over the course of human history. And it's interesting because, you know, he's still in search of a smart gun. I'm in search of more smart people so that that more people are allowed, you know, to own a firearm, right? Educated folk. I actually gave suck where sage advice ruled the day. In South Dakota, Iowa, early on, there was something known as the Iowa Basics, and I'm kind of bragging on the Midwest, but I don't give a rat's butt, if you like it or not, because I gave suck where sage advice ruled the day. It's interesting because I happen to know people, obviously, from various and sundry states, and it's funny because I spent about a week with a particular family. He's from the Northeast, and she's from kind of a flaky family from the Midwest, so not really the norm, so to speak. But it's interesting because I was teaching their child how to fish. Their child happens to be in his late 20s now. And interestingly enough, you know, she couldn't bear the thought of the hook. And I love sunfish, by the way. If you ever get a chance to fry yourself up, you know, bluegill, pumpkin seed, I think they're called in some areas of the country. Bluegill is probably the most prominent name by which sunfish are, you know, somewhat categorized, but they make great eating, so much better than largemouth bass. They're in two different classes, in my opinion. But, you know, we were catching sunfish, and I was going to use a couple of them as bait to try to catch stripers later on in the evening, and because I'd never caught a striper before, and this particular mother, right, which is a great person, by the way, amazing person in so many ways, but she couldn't bear the thought of three or four bluegills on the dock, a private dock, removed, so to speak, from other docks. And so it was interesting, when I went down, I had three or four bluegills picked out, kind of smaller ones, and they were alive in a bucket, and I went down that evening. We ended up reeling in a catfish using some stink bait, but interestingly enough, there were no bluegills to be found in the bucket when I got down there. So my guess is, my educated thinking is that since the bucket had a lid with holes in it, that the holes were significantly smaller than the fish themselves. They would have had to pull off one hell of a Houdini to have made their way out of that bucket. So anyway, I don't want that kind of a person telling me that I can't bring my children up around guns, or that they can't handle firearms, because that's really for me. I'm not one of those, one of those parents. Oftentimes in impoverished neighborhoods, a white lady or any other lady for that matter of any persuasion will leave their child in a car while they go in and shop. Now, that kind of parent, we have children, first of all, in a hot car with the windows rolled up, you know, while they go in and shop for the latest iPhone based on Obama bucks. That kind of person just really shouldn't own, be able to oversee a child in the first place. All right. But barring that kind of a parent, or the kind of parent that would leave a kid in a wet diaper for like 20 or 30 hours while they play video games, probably shouldn't be able, they should have restraining orders for parents and firearms, that they shouldn't be able to be within a mile of one, except for at the butt end, the one when a police officer determines the facts. I know that sounds horrible, but so be it. I am Dakota Lone Star, and this is my program. All right, so unlike the Iowa Basics or the ASVAB in terms of once tenured material, you know, I hail from a portion of the nation that can handle guns. 99.9% of us in the Midwest grew up around guns, and the other were implants. Anyway, so I'm going to move on in this particular article. And this, the authors end up quoting a patient here now, moving on to the second paragraph. "Of course not. We don't believe in that," answered one mother who came to our practice with her 7-year-old. Her son looked up from his iPad and grinned. "But Bobby's dad has a really cool gun. Bobby showed it to me last week." "What do you mean?" his mother asked. "A toy gun?" "No, a real one," he boasted before returning to his game. All right, so there's attention deficit disorder within that scenario, but I won't go there during this particular program. His mother sat in wide-eyed silence. Well, silence was a problem in the first place. Call your kid's friends' parents, and did you ever think to ask whether or not your child's friends' parents have guns? And just call on a little play date and just get to know the parents for a moment and say, if they appear to be the kind of parent that would leave their kid in a hot car and they have a gun, well, then Joey doesn't get to go to Sam's house. All right. Well, anyway, I don't know if this kid's name is Joey, but that's neither here nor there. When a Florida, they segue into the authors. I'm going to return to the article and reading the article again. It says, when a Florida pediatrician asked the same question, "Do you have guns in the home?" during a checkup in 2010, the reply from a mother of three was sharp. "None of your business," she objected. Good for her. She objected to the query, as very invasive, complaining to her local newspaper, "Whether I have a gun has nothing to do with the health of my child." Probably doesn't in her case. She probably isn't the kind of parent that plays video games, or most probably a really nice chance that she didn't raise her child, her children didn't cut their teeth on iPads, which couldn't be part of the problem in America. Basically, the health of any given child is dependent on the adults in the home, quote unquote, and based on FBI stats and specialists for that matter. But I'm going to proceed to their next paragraph in the Washington Post. And so began what's come to be known as the Docs versus Glocks dispute. They come up with some catchy stuff, don't they? That was so 2 years ago. In 2011, it was actually possibly 5 years ago now, depending on the month and day. God forbid I bring in New Jersey SD versus MJR and how she had to sleep with her one eye open for 14, 15 months thereafter because of a progressive Democrat judge. But we're the Islamophobes. All right, back to the article. In 2011, after a lobbying push by the NRA, or the National Rifle Association, Florida passed the Firearm Owners Privacy Act, restricting physicians from asking about gun ownership and from counseling about gun safety in routine appointments. Okay. Potential penalties include fines, suspension, and loss of a medical license. That would probably lend itself to repeat offenders of... Most likely there in Florida in terms of the Docs Without Borders. But interestingly enough, the National Rifle Association is always the bad guy, right? No, thank God for the National Rifle Association. Thank God for South Dakota. Thank God for Iowa. Thank God for Montana, Wyoming, and North Dakota. And screw the rest other than Texas. No, I'm just kidding. And a couple of other states are out there, obviously, that don't toe the line of the North Beast and the left coast. Oh, anyway, a little coffee belch going on there. Thank you very much. All right. So, a federal judge blocked the law. Oh, man. As an unconstitutional restriction of a doctor's speech. Then an appeals court panel overturned the ruling, kudos to the appeals court, emphasizing patients' rights to own guns and to privacy within that framework. And I'm using the word framework there. This Florida case, the authors go on to say, is just the latest example of how the politics of guns have affected physicians' ability to bring science to bear on what experts can see. Okay, here we go. Number one with X. I'm going to get to that in just a second here. If you have never hooked a bluegill or sunfish, you're most likely not a firearms expert. That's probably an argument for another day, but they go on to say that plainly that gun violence is a public health issue. Well, let's start there, shall we? I went to an FBI website and of statistical nature, and it appears to me, just from I perused the stats a couple of pages worth over the course of 2 or 3 hours for an article I was writing, and it appears to me that the problem really lies in our urban neighborhoods. I mean, really to the tune of over 90%, based on actual experts. And so this, here's the crux of my problem. You need to shut, no, you don't need to shut your mouth. But you probably should, until you're willing to find out how many people in urban settings have firearms and also have a myriad of felonies within their pants as well. And that's probably why a lot of their pants are sagging to the ground, because it's not so much the firearm. You could even put a 45 in most men's pants, and a loaded 45, and it wouldn't sag to the ground. So maybe it's just, you know, the phone numbers for their not their doctors, but their probation officers and so forth, probably load their pockets. But it's okay for them to have a gun because you haven't dealt with that particular law in the books, and shook down. You know, there needs to be a shakedown. Don't tell me, or, you know, give me a call on this. You know, if you agree or don't agree, either way, give me a call. 929-477-4090 is the number. Where in America should we start? Should we start with doctors and the pediatricians? I'm not saying that it's wrong to have a conversation with – actually, I am saying that. I have a doctor that's an internist, that's a very good internist, but he believes that the dirge of the earth is made up of Christians and Jews. And interestingly enough, the lady that my wife sees within the same practice, both excellent doctors, both experts within their field, one's an intern and the other's kind of just, you know, basic sort of homogenous. But she does kind of tend to be a know-it-all as well. And it's interesting because we got to talking one day about Christianity, and I can't remember how the conversation started, but she said, well, you know, Christians are just crazy. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, so all of the lefties that want to talk about Islam being a religion of peace, and let's just go with a really conservative figure at 5 to 8% of any given religion out there that's willing to sacrifice their children in the name of God, quote unquote. It just crunched the numbers quick. You know, this guy from Tennessee that just was on a capital at the state capitol, wherever he was at, when he, you know, he was a fruitcake anyway, and he talked about the, it's interesting and pretty telling that he spoke to the $15 an hour minimum wage. Probably not right for the pastoral job anyway, but that's, you know, that's his right to be a pastor, or her right, or its right, as a matter of fact, today, to go ahead and just go ahead, start your own churches, though, for God's sake, for the love of Pete. All right, so that tells me a lot about this pastor from Tennessee. And interestingly enough, a lot of people are like, well, what about Timothy McVeigh? Well, how many, quote-unquote, Timothy McVeighs have there been in the last year? Let alone the last 15 years or 20 years, within the religion of peace, that wreak havoc on a daily basis internationally speaking, and yet we're supposed to give you guys the free pass. You're supposed to walk away with a proverbial open-ended hall pass, and we don't get. As Christians, we're the crazed among you? I don't think so. All right, back to the article and to my reading glasses. All right, so deal with the hoods first. Otherwise, just kind of button it up until you can shed something other than crocodile tears. And I'm not stating that about these two particular authors. I'm talking about the crocodile tears of one Barack Hussein Obama. All right, anyway, so the article continues. First, there's the suggestion that a doctor merely asking about guns infringes on the right to bear arms because of how much power doctors supposedly have over patients. The court panel wrote, quote, when a patient enters a physician's examination room, the patient is in a position of relative powerlessness. Actually, I'm going to forego that for a minute. I'm going to jump down to the second complete paragraph because I found this was interesting. The authors go on to say that talking, well, actually in the paragraph prior, they say that in a doctor-patient relationship forces patients to suspend their critical faculties. Anyway, the next article says most doctors nowadays would laugh at that idea. And perhaps there was a hint of truth to it in 1994, 2 years before WebMD went live, and when less than 12% of U.S. households had internet access. And I want to touch on that briefly because this is going to raise an interesting point, to say the least. They said, but long gone, the authors said, agreed, I guess, right, of this particular article, agreed. But long gone are the days when whatever a doctor said was law. Yes, those days are long gone, because you can type in any given symptom into Google or Bing, and everyone's an expert. So that could be, and that lends itself to my earlier point that I don't want someone telling me that I can't teach my 8-year-old boy or daughter that never to point a gun loaded, even if they believe it's unloaded, at themselves or anyone else, or even remotely in the direction of anyone else. It kind of starts there. In terms of responsible gun ownership, that's kind of one of the first lessons. My dad took me to a hunter safety course in South Dakota when I was 12 years of age, and I'm grateful and thankful not only for the course, but for my dad. And so it's a shout out to Sanity. Among progressive Democrats today, and I know we're outnumbered. I mentioned that last show that I have no delusions of grandeur where sanity kind of rules the day any longer. But I'm going to move on to the article, and it goes on to talk about good faith inquiry. So what is a good faith inquiry? If you believe as a doctor that Jews and Christians are responsible for havoc in the world, then in terms of firearms, can yours truly be a good faith inquiry? If you're a pediatrician and you believe that everyone should be a vegan, and you don't agree with catching fish for sport and food, you probably shouldn't. There's probably not a good faith inquiry there when it comes to guns, because chances are pretty good that you're all about the adoption of animals. One thing that I'm not against. But you may be against the adoption of the human babies, and okay with, the sale of baby parts, although not necessarily. I'm not going to say that about these two particular authors of this article. All right. So good faith inquiries, that raises an interesting conversation as well, God forbid. Now, in the next paragraph, the author went on to say, it would be odd if the lawmakers intended to exempt the standard pediatrician questions that motivated the law in the first place. Down at the end of the paragraph says, the court interpreted relevant to mean based on some particular information about the individual patient, for example, that the patient is suicidal or has violent tendencies. That should just be an obvious one. If someone has attempted suicide, they would have to receive a clean bill of health from, in today's new age, they would probably be forced to face the three doctors that Dinesh D'Souza faced, but that's not bigotry, is it? Even though he had a clean bill of health from the first two. But in terms of someone openly being suicidal or homicidal, then obviously he or she should not have a firearm in the first place. Now, again, It goes on to say, the article goes on to say that for children between the ages of 1 and 14, the leading cause of death is unintentional injury, a category, collectively speaking, that includes car accidents, suffocation, burns, drowning, and gunshot wounds. As pediatricians, we counsel parents about all of these issues. We explain how to properly install car seats. That's great. We caution against children playing with plastic bags. Only in a village. Only in a village. Okay, so maybe we need to get away from raising iPad pets and have to take care of a real animal before having children, for starters. Or God forbid, a little cow or lamb on a farm. That's kind of a nice starter, too. And don't let your ewes play with plastic bags on the range. Little tongue-in-cheek thing there from Dakota Lone Star. All right, so I said we teach about safe water temperature. We discuss safety around pools. And gun safety is no different from any of these topics. They go on to say that comprehensive, this word gets a little dicey and rather laughable as well. They said comprehensive numbers on gun accidents are hard to come by, in part because the NRA lobby of the NRA's lobbying and limited funding has deterred the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention from conducting firearm research. Well, if it really mattered, would it take funding, number one? I didn't have to be funded. I don't get paid for this radio gig, not yet anyway, but I will. Lord Jesus willing. Oh, did I just say that in America? Oh, I can't be an individual and believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's just so un-American today. Because my saying so is often equated with legislation. Yeah, I'm a legislator by night. No, but we know who is legislating by night, the children of the night, and that's been going on for at least the last 7 years and at times before, but legislating language even, I did not have sex with that girl. anyway, so they're having a problem here because the NRA obviously is a deterrent to funding the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Well, for God's sake, people, for God's sake, just do your own investigation. Hop on over, you know, to the FBI website, and there is statistic after statistic after statistic, and you can draw some fairly logical, intelligible conclusions over there. You know, I determine that with cities, in terms of cities with a population greater than 200K, therein lies the crux of firearm-related savagery, if you will. And if you're not willing to clean that up, then you probably – I mean, if you're willing to speak to that component of firearm safety, quote-unquote, or – you know, a child shooting a friend or a sibling or whatever within the home because, you know, after all that iPad that Joey went back to after he boldly proclaimed that Johnny's dad had a gun or whatever in the beginning of the article, that's kind of problematic too. So if you gave suck to – and see, that's really kind of where the problem's at, isn't it? And look at all the Bible. It's interesting because my God forbid I bring up the Bible. It said, as in the days of Noah, you know, so it shall be in the end. And it looks like there's just so many movies out there that just it's all about the special effects. They're really bad movies, a lot of them. Just saw Batman versus Superman or Superman versus Batman. It was horrible. Lex Luthor's acting was pretty good. It was kind of creepy, but good. It's supposed to be creepy, I guess. But I wouldn't pay twice to see that. I fell asleep for about 10 minutes during the middle of the movie. But anyway, so moving on. You're just full of crap, Doc. whoever penned that particular portion about the NRA. See, there's the problem, blame game. And I think that'll be the topic of my next program, actually. 929-477-4090, you can key it into your phone, because we're going to have some fun. The blame game. A man gets into a car with where the driver is greatly inebriated and without being verbose. And the passenger dies, and then the state files a suit against the driver on behalf of the Dallas Cowboy that died in the car. You know, it's tragic. But I think the Proverbs say, you know, that wine, and I'm so lucky to even be here today to talk to you today on Blog Talk Radio. I am extremely fortunate, and I'll tell you why. Because I've had way too much to drink on a few occasions and got behind the wheel earlier than later, and I don't know how I made it home a couple of times, and that was foolish, and I deserved some jail time action, because I knew going into the evening's episode of a number of drinks or whatever, that I should have either crashed at the party rather than crashed the party, but crashed at the party, or had a friend drive me home or whatever. But anyway, I'm so thankful. Here's another thing. Never hunt while drinking. I had a 22 round whiz past my ear one time, and I was about 20 acres away from a couple of guys that were hunting illegally on a friend's land, and probably out of staters, or probably implants from the Northeast or the left coast. But one guy was hunting birds with a rifle, for starters, rather than a shotgun, and which is just highly illegal. And if it's not illegal in every state, let me know where you're calling from at 929-477-4090. If it's not illegal to drink and use a firearm, please let me know so I won't hunt in your state ever. all right, so or if you hunt birds with rifles, if that's allotted or allowable in your state, please let me know. Again, the call number is 929-477-4090, but I'm going to go ahead and just move on here a minute. in another paragraph, or toward the end of the article, it says, in a 2006 study published in the Archives of Pediatrics and Adolescent Medicine, nearly a quarter of parents who reported that their children had not handled a household gun were contradicted by their children. All right, so the kid, just don't give your child a reason to lie. And I'm not advocating the BFF approach either, because that's another problem. You know, there are a couple of factors in the blame game. And actually, one of the key factors is the blame game. Another key factor is too many parents, their end all and their unspoken agreement or otherwise with their child or children is that they're going to end up being their BFF, you know, and it's just parenting is gone too. Now, here's the thing. My boys, I'm getting a lot of compliments as of late, that they're well-adjusted, well-behaved, and sure, they goof off. It's kind of funny, actually. The youngest one did something extremely funny the other day in the store, and all three of us laughed so hard, it's a good thing that our bladders weren't full. But anyway, I don't really give them, I don't knowingly provide an excuse for them to lie to me. Because I handle things in such a way that that they're willing to expose most of what they go through. And it's not about being their BFF. And I know that I know for a fact that both of my boys are ready now to go out with me individually with like a pellet rifle or air rifle, if you will, or air gun, otherwise known as an air gun. And sure, they can cause damage. I'm well aware of that. But again, it all starts with common sense. I mean, like the class that I took, I think was like a 4 8-hour class, something. I think 4 or 6-hour class, somewhere in that range when I was about 12 with my dad. And we actually had to go into the field and learn how to cross fences with a loaded firearm. And that included handing the firearm to the person that you're hunting with. And but obviously, you know, staying along the ground with the barrel and handing the firearm to the other person and then crossing the fence and then, you know, taking the firearm back. So anyway, there's a certain lack of common sense today as well. But I don't know. I think the kids today, you know, they love these movies. And, you know, this summer I spoke to this end recently, that the UN is going to save us from an alien invasion, when Independence Day is released this summer. They couldn't even stop John Jawi, let alone deal with their own, bowel movements properly, probably. But anyway, don't give your kids an excuse to lie to you. And know your children. The more you converse with someone, the more you know when he or she is telling you the truth, right? I mean, that would make sense to me anyway. And I do want to end on an interesting note here. I would love to take a call right now, actually, at 929-477-4090. The byline on B as in Bravo 5 within the April 3rd edition of the Washington Post is entitled, "Doctors Don't Want Your Guns, They Want to Protect Your Kids." Okay, shouldn't that be unanimous? I don't know, but at the same time, like I said, if my doctor believes that Christianity is the scourge and dearth of the world, then I don't want that doctor to know that we have firearms. Because personally, I think someone's entirely unhinged, as Sir Chris Plant would put it, on WMAL, he states, you know, at least a time a day, generally speaking, that the left is unhinged, and they are. I mean, it doesn't take, now let's talk about statistics and people that, statisticians, the people that have studied it, the experts that were alluded to in this article. Although statisticians weren't alluded to in this article, I am alluding to statistics, meaningful statistics, not of the Snopes variety, God save America. But, you know, statistics, you know, for every Timothy McVeigh, there's 5,000 jihadists. I think it's pretty... That's a pretty safe assumption. And I saw a great meme the other night that said, if the terrorists aren't Islamic, then why, when they go to jail, do we provide them with a Quran and a prayer rug? I thought that was a great meme. And but look, okay, so these doctors and progressive Democrats, which are communists, at any rate, but I'm going to read an article about Bill Ayers in a few minutes here. But Okay, so you're adept enough to come away with a laundry list of questions as patients. And yet you're inept enough to not be a responsible firearm owner. Now, if the shoe were on the other foot, in terms of this particular article, and we were discussing something as personal to us as it might be to you, or otherwise, as a progressive Democrat, my thinking is that you probably don't want to. What if our doctors begin asking how many partners does your mommy have? Or how many transgendered people have been in your home that are bisexual? Or how many partners has daddy had in the last 90 days? Does mommy have friends that come and go on a regular basis and while your iPad raises you? You see where I'm going with this, right, America? All right, anyway, that's about it. Go ahead and look up the article. Check me out online at 40and28forever.com. And like me on Facebook as Dakota Lone Star. God save America. If you own a gun, your kid's doctor doesn't need to know. If you have even an inkling of common sense, which most people don't have any longer, you know, they're requesting a village, they're willing to pay the village, they're willing to create legislation at the stroke of a pen, and rather than do so before the stroke of midnight, they're willing to do so at, 3 a.m. when Congress is out of session. But we can't talk about that in America because that's obviously bigoted, racist, and Islamophobic. All right. Dakota Lone Star.